It's one of the great classics. It was first started in 78, and I did it in 82 and loved doing it. And I just thought, doing the Sydney Hobart this year, I would be missing my racing. I really missed it. I so enjoyed doing that race that I thought, actually, why don't I get back to it?
How challenging a race is it?
Well, any single-handed race is a challenge. I mean, but this one's particularly interesting because, of course, it starts in November, and that's when the weather can be really quite nasty. So, generally speaking, there's a sort out in the first week or so. Quite a lot of people don't carry on, they pull out, which makes it more interesting for those of us who do carry on.
Have you always loved being alone on the water and that sort of, you know, the solitude, but just being at one with the sea, I suppose?
Well, I love single-handed, but I love sailing with a crew. Sydney Hobart, we had a crew, I think we were 16 of us. I enjoyed that as well. It's rather nice occasionally just to go off on your own. I mean, single-handed sailing is a form of retreat with chess and push-ups. Now, you're on your own, you're getting all the fun of being on your own, you've got the physical effort, and you've got the tactical thinking that's going on all the time. I don't think people realise how tactical yacht racing is. Very tactical, and particularly this sort of racing, because it's all meteorological. It's not round the buoys. This is getting the weather right.
I guess in terms of the equipment you have on your boat, it's a lot more advanced than it was when you first started doing single-handed racing. I mean, just tell us a little bit about what you're doing to the boat at the moment, how you're preparing.
Oh, well, we're fitting a couple of satellite systems so I can download weather. I'm just sorting her out, really. I'm just doing a lot of work that needs doing, replacing some rigging, checking everything operates. We're also sorting out the steering while we're at it. Just a load of little jobs, the normal sort of maintenance you get with a boat.
We've seen this week just how dangerous ocean racing can be with the events that happened in the Clipper. That's got to always be in your mind when you're taking on any ocean race, I would think.
Well, you can put the equipment on board. I mean, it's there. There's the jack stay. You got to clip onto it. And if you don't clip onto it, you've got a good chance you'll go overside.
And just speaking of that incident this week in the Clipper, I mean, it sounds like the guy who went over, Andrew's doing very well, but it must have been a terrifying experience for the crew. I guess that's when training really comes into play.
You know something, you haven't got time to be terrified. Because if someone goes overside, your total focus is on getting them back. You haven't got time to think how you're feeling. You're just focusing entirely on getting that person back on board. And so are your crew. They're out there keeping a lookout. They're helping control the boat. There is no time to think about it. You get that person back. Now, we train very hard at that. Every course we do, we start with man overboard drill. And it comes to the point where it's almost automatic, and that's the way it should be. Because when something like this happens, there is no time for a panic. It's got to be totally focused, get on with the job of recovering them. And they did an extremely good job. But it is down, as they've said, it was down to the training.
Well, just coming back to this race then, obviously you've announced that you're doing this in the year that it's the 45th anniversary of your famous round the world solo circumnavigation. How special is that anniversary to you?
Well, until I was reminded of it, I'd forgotten it. But I suppose looking back, you know, that was the big thing in my life in many ways. I thoroughly enjoyed it, looking back on it. That's 45 years. Gosh, what have I done with that 45 years? I need to rethink my whole philosophy towards life and get on and do something with it.
And just how much has ocean racing changed within that time?
Oh, compare biplane with Concorde. It's so different now. And the one big difference is satellites. But it's materials. This boat's carbon fibre, so here it is teak. I've got communications that work here. I've got three methods of communicating. I've got distress signals I can send off. We never had any of that. I can get weather, which means you can make much faster voyages. Sails are better made, they're better material. Masts are carbon fibre. You know, so much has changed. It all leads to boats being faster.
And obviously, I'm sure you're looking forward to the route to Rum in November. Is there a little bit of apprehension and nervousness in there as well?
No, let's get on with it. I'll start serious training once the Clipper race finishes. But until the Clipper race finishes, that's my focus. But I can, in between the stopover ports, do a little bit of work on it, which is what I'm doing. And I'll go out and do a few odd trips as well, just to make sure everything's working all right. And then after the Clipper race finishes on the 12th of July, I'll go off and do some serious training.